Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. This is the Zabecast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Tuesday, July 16, 2024. Thank you for downloading. Just you and I today. I tried to get Andy for today, and then he said, you know, if we're going to do it, I need to do it before 6 o'clock. Well, I was out playing in a great media rodeo for the upcoming Solheim Cup in D.C. And so free golf at a top 100 golf course at RTJ. And I got to meet Lexi Thompson, who is very athletic, tall woman. But anyway, I was out playing golf today, and so therefore I couldn't get to Andy before 6. And you know, it's the first night of the Republican National Convention. You know Andy's hunkered down, watching every speech and taking copious notes to see whether or not, maybe this is the year I vote for a Republican. Just kidding. So we'll hopefully have on Andy tomorrow, Charge on Thursday, then the boys on Friday. But let's get to it. This is very tough news that I have to report here, but I'm just going to break it straight to you. Skip Bayless is leaving Fox Sports 1. I know! I can't believe it! In a bit of a bombshell, it's the end of an era at FS1. As Ryan Glasspiegel of the New York Post reports that Bayless is leaving his role as co-host of Undisputed after 8 years. His final show will be later this summer. It's the second consecutive summer that a pillar of their once proud program with him and Shannon Sharp left following the NBA Finals last year. The newest iteration, which featured a rotating group of panelists, was Bayless, including Keyshawn Johnson, who's on just about every day now, Michael Irvin, Richard Sherman, Rachel Nichols, and Paul Pierce, did not capture audiences as successfully as Bayless and Sharp debating one-on-one for the previous 7 years. So there you go. Who will take that job next? Who has the hottest takes to be able to step in to the role of Skip Bayless? I mean, what a run he's had. Getting really not that great of ratings, even with Shannon Sharp, but raking in, I want to say, close to, 8 years at about 4 or 5 million a year. You do the math. Oh my God. And Skip Bayless is not young. I want to say Skip Bayless is like 70 years old almost. He's in great shape. I'll give him that. But do you think Skip Bayless will take his money and retire? Nah. He's got too many takes he needs to uncork. So we shall see. Been a bad week for Viking fans. First, you had a rookie die in a drunk driving accident, a fourth-round pick, and now your second-best wide receiver, or maybe third, Jordan Addison, gets a DUI in L.A. by falling asleep at the wheel of his Rolls-Royce in lane 1 of Interstate 105 westbound to Sepulveda Boulevard northbound. This was only at 11:36 p.m. He was released from custody Saturday at 1:36 a.m. He has since posted a picture of a cocktail sitting on his, looks like, back porch table of some sort. And people are like, really? Is this the time for that? Now, look, innocent until proven guilty, but he was asleep in the number one lane in his Rolls Royce. When is the league going to truly take drunk driving as seriously as domestic violence? Probably never, because they're so in deep with beer sponsors. And I'm sure the pressure is strong from the beer sponsors to say, look, even though we say drink responsibly, we don't want the league making drunk driving its number one public safety issue, because they're going to turn right around and say, well, you're still taking money from Budweiser. Why are you doing that if you're so big on anti-drunk driving? To which the logical answer is, well, of course, we stress drink responsibly or have a designated driver, but that will not satisfy those who would want to come after the league's number one partner. Addison had previously been arrested. Man, his driving's got issues. Previously arrested in 2023, July, shortly after being drafted 23rd overall out of USC, for going 140 miles per hour on a freeway in Minnesota. He pled guilty to a misdemeanor speeding charge with a reckless driving charge dismissed. Now, how in the hell do you get 140 miles an hour dismissed? I can't even imagine what that looks like. 100 will fly by you on regular roads. Like, what the hell was that? 140? And they're like, yeah, reckless driving. Nah, you're fine. He paid $686 in fines. By the way, the rookie that was killed, Kyrie Jackson, along with two others in a Maryland car accident. Roger Goodell, call your office. Meanwhile, while we're on the NFL, it now appears that one Tyreek Hill had a 5-in-12-month spree of babies out of wedlock. It's one of the most incredible procreation runs and one of the most explosive baby mama payments that will ever be seen in the NFL, in addition to his current wife being pregnant with another child. Tyreek Hill apparently has 10-plus children by something like 7 or more women. 5 in 1 year. As someone said, man, that is some nasty work. And yet, who are some people in sports more concerned about? Harrison Butker, because of his speech that they thought was too conservative and why aren't women in the kitchen making me a sandwich? Which, of course, is a gross mischaracterization of the speech. But hey, don't let the facts or anything else get in the way of a good narrative. They care more about Harrison Butker and his speech than about Tyreek Hill popping out babies with, you know, 7 different women out of wedlock. Here was the Williams sisters on the ESPYs talking about it.
So go ahead and enjoy women's sport like you would any other sports, because they are sports. Yes.
Except you, Harrison Butker. We don't need you.
At all, like ever. Okay. I also have to object to something that Serena said about Caitlin Clark. And I wish more people would call her out about this. And maybe there were, I just didn't see it. But this should not be happening in 2024. Here is what she said about Caitlin Clark in the WNBA.
Caitlin Clark had an amazing year and is nominated for 3 awards. Caitlin, you are the Larry Bird in that you are an amazing player. You have ties to Indiana, and white people are really crazy about you.
Okay. While maybe that's true, what did she do to deserve that? Why would you want to make her an other, as if she's only for white people? She should be for anybody and everybody. And it needs to be pointed out that Serena Williams' husband is white. So if Serena Williams' daughter, and I think she has one, grows up to be a Caitlin Clark fan, is she going to go to her mom and say, Mama, is it okay for me to be a fan of Caitlin Clark, or is that only for white people? You wouldn't accept it if it was the other way around, so you shouldn't accept this as even remotely something we should tolerate. Do better, Serena. Do better. Would be an interesting conversation with her husband, that's for sure. While we're on the WNBA, I know you guys have been like, oh, thank God you haven't talked about it on the podcast in weeks. Still going on, and currently you've got Caitlin Clark on pace to break the single-season assist record, but only by a hair. But she is going to obliterate the single-season turnover record. In fact, she's already broken last year's turnover record, which was Alyssa Thompson had 137 turnovers last year. Caitlin Clark, with 16 games to go, has 139. Clark, though, also has 194 assists so far. That's 17 more than Ms. Thomas on the assist front this season. And she is on pace to break the single-season record. So Caitlin Clark could finish number one in both assists and turnovers. Now, I haven't watched any of her WNBA games, but I've seen some highlights. There is some talk that, yes, she just makes dumb, reckless turnovers. I've seen that in college. And then others are saying, well, she makes a lot of passes that are so quick, so nifty, that her teammates are butterhands, and they're just not catching her passes. Either way, she's had a very good season. And she brings fans to the court. Whether or not they are white or black or anything else, they're fans. She brought a lot of fans to Minnesota because it's an easy drive up from Iowa. And they took over the Lynx home court, and they sold out the Lynx home building. And it was a hell of a game, and they won. And Caitlin Clark did the slow clap out on the road with her smaller but still vocal section of fans cheering her on, and then did a bit of a stare down on Olympic national team coach Cheryl Reeves, head coach of the Lynx. After the game, reporters were asking, man, that was great. How does the league encourage more of this?
It was so fun to be at, to be a part of, was with it? The Upper Bowl Open.
Was it, she says, annoyed because she lost?
This game was so fun to be at, to be a part of, was with it? The Upper Bowl Open. Yes.
By the way, she's wearing a Black Girls Rock t-shirt, which is also something that is needless and pandering and divisive. But I guess nobody's going to call it out.
It's the climate.
Yeah.
In your mind, what are the steps that this league can take to have this be more consistent in the regular season, an event, a game atmosphere like today?
Clone Caitlin Clark 12 times and then sprinkle her throughout the league. That's my answer.
I mean, I don't know that I quite understand the question, in that everybody knows that the reason why our teams around the league are having sellouts are because Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever are coming to town.
Okay. So she did begrudgingly say, I don't get it. You know it's because of her. What else can we do? Kind of a dumb question. Little bit of a sassy answer. She also got very annoyed when somebody asked about the national team and whether or not Caitlin Clark might be added at the last minute, because 49-year-old Diana Taurasi is apparently battling some injuries. Just kidding. She's not 49. She's only 42, I think. She said, why the hell would I answer a national team question? I'm wearing Lynx gear, and I'm the head coach of the national team, but I'm not the chair of the committee. Anyone want to venture into anything else? Salty and sassy. To the other summer sensation, that is LeBron James's son, Bronny James. I know you've heard of him. I have not watched any Bronny James Summer League games. I don't even have the stats of Bronny James in front of me. I could look them up. I don't know what they would mean. It's Summer League. It is a small fraction, mostly a undeveloped, very green underbelly of the league, So what are the stats going to tell me? But I am listening to what the pundits are saying, and what they are saying is, woof. It's worse than we thought. Prodigy James stinks. And this is coming from some former players. Kwame Brown, who knows a thing or two about being a bust, but at least was in the league legitimately for 8 or 9 years, pretty much went off on him saying he plays scared, can't wait to pass the ball out of his hands, not aggressive. And then there was this Gilbert Arenas and his podcast with his podcast crew of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 other guys asked the question, so what do you expect to see out of Bronny this year on the Lakers?
What are you guys expecting?
Huh?
So what are you guys expecting?
From him?
From who?
From Bronny.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Show up and work out, work on your game.
Go, Daddy, go! Go, Daddy, go!
Hey,
as soon as they sub in.
Go, Daddy, go.
Go, Daddy, go.
What you need? Oh, let me go get your towel. Let me get your water. Sit there.
Learn the plays. Talk to the coach.
Don't talk to my daddy like that.
It's a second round pick. What you expect him to learn, understand, be cheerful?
Nasty work right there. Not wrong, though. It's going to be a fun year. Speaking of LeBron, there is now a pushback on LeBron on multiple fronts, as a guy who nobody wants to go play for or with. This includes guys like John Stockton, who was one of the top 50 players of all time, who in a podcast said, look, he introduces too much uncertainty. It's almost like, you know, he just wants to take a helicopter to the top of the mountain. He does not want to grind his way up the mountain itself and make the climb himself. I think there's a lot of validity to that. Enes Kanter says he's the dictator of the NBA. You want a dictator? It's LeBron. Quote, no other player wants to play with him. When I see a dictator, I know it. LeBron is literally like the dictator of the NBA. He controls the media. He controls his narrative. If you go against his agenda, you get traded. Everybody knows it. Enes Kanter. Enes Kanter is a bit of a scrub, but he knows something, having fled Turkey, what real dictators look like. Basically, the Lakers added nobody this offseason, and they're going to run it back, only with Bronny's son. So they'll be that, which should be fun. Quick break when we come back. The back half of the podcast, including a research project that I only half-heartedly said, well, maybe somebody could look this up for me because I'm lazy. And a listener did. It's about how many games or how many players on a given NFL team play all 17 games. Because I said my proposal was, you want a longer season, but you don't want the players to play more. Just say they can only play 16, but the schedule will be 18 games. And then you got 2 games of rest for players you can sprinkle around, manage. Guy gets hurt, he misses a couple games, so be it. I think it's a brilliant idea. Nobody I run it by thinks very much of it. They don't like it. So I said, well, show me the numbers. What number of guys on a team play the full 17? I have the answer, or at least a mostly complete answer on that, and you'll get it after these commercial messages, unless you're a subscriber of this podcast for a mere $5 a month. I mean, that's a pittance per day. Don't make me do the math on that. You can subscribe, skip these commercials, and get Fridays included with Scott and Solly, the original OGs of the Fox Sports Radio days. Just go to Zabe.com/subscribe. And football season's coming up, so you're going to want to be a subscriber anyway. I thank you for that. Quick break, back with the back half of today's Zabecast right after this. Feeling the heat of the dog days of summer? Well, MyBookie.com is here to turn it up. While you're lounging by the pool, you could also be scoring big with MyBookie.com. From baseball to international soccer, we've got your summer sports fix covered. And let's not forget about those juicy NFL futures as we gear up for football season. At MyBookie.com, they're not just another faceless sports book. They've been our trusted partner here at the Zabecast for over 5 years because of their rock-solid reputation. At MyBookie, you'll get great odds that make you howl with delight, a wide array of props and futures to keep you engaged, and lightning-fast payouts without the hassle. Of course, as always, bet with your head, no over it. Ready to beat the heat and win big? Head to MyBookie.com now and use promo code ZABE. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. MyBookie.com. Your bookie, your way, all summer long. Hiring? With Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. So here we go. Andrew Vargo, I love you. In a, you know, host-listener kind of way. Not sexual. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but you get my point. I love you, my man, because I asked, you delivered. Here's what he writes, and you can always email me at zabe@yahoo.com. Hey, Zabe, heard you talking about your idea of NFL players only being allowed to play 16 games. How would that work with kickers, punters, and long snappers? Oh, this is a different email. So hold on a second. Hold on, everybody. Cut and paste was not my friend here. Robert Anderson, Tiny, my man, Tiny, he goes by. Nickname, Tiny, he's not Tiny. Robert Anderson says, how would that work with kickers, punters, and long snappers? Seems to me you would have to cut them in order to bring up a kicker, punter, and long snapper for the other two games, which would make them susceptible to being claimed off of waivers. As you know, these positions don't have backups in the 53-man roster. Great point. It's called an exception. Easy to make an exception for three critical pieces that play very little in a game. A kicker, a punter, and a long snapper. Exceptions. So you make an exception for those, and then you go forward. Okay, that problem solved. Now, this one from my man, Andrew Vargo. He says, a quick look around Pro Football Reference found the following numbers, Abe, on your question. For the Buffalo Bills, a good team, they had eight starters on offense play 17 of 17, but only two on defense, 10. The Jets, a bad team, only had two on offense and five on defense, 7. The Ravens, a good team, only had one on offense and just three on defense, 4. The Steelers, a meh team, had four on offense, three on defense for 7. Texans had the most shocking number on offense. They all played 17 to 17. On defense, only one player did not play 17 of 17 games. That's incredible. For the Titans, though, a bad team, their numbers were almost the same. On defense, they too had just one guy that didn't play all 17. On offense, they had two. For the Eagles, good team then turned shitty, 3-3. Giants, bad team, none that didn't play all games on offense, three on defense. The Commanders, bad team, 3 on offense, 1 on defense. Niners, good team, 2 on offense, 5 on defense. Cardinals, he goes on and on and on. Bottom line is, the average, he says, 60 guys for 12 teams. It's about 5 guys on average. No real correlation to good team, bad team, play more, play less, offense, defense. You can't make heads or tails of it. So you were right. I couldn't believe so few players have played all the games. Best, Andrew Vargo. Thank you, Andrew, and that is interesting. Again, I don't need a longer NFL season. It's not too short for my liking. It's not too short for my wife's liking or many other women out there who are not big football fans. But if you had to make it longer and you were worried about how is the union going to accept this, there's your answer. All hail Argentina! Argentina! World power on the international soccer stage. They win the Copa America 1-0 in extra time on Sunday night after a 75-minute delay because Colombia fans bum-rushed the gate. Bum-rushed the gate, trashed the elevator lobby and the escalator lobby at Hard Rock Stadium, and then, at one point, started climbing up through a ventilation hole like Attack of the Zombies World War Z to get into the stadium. Police had to go row by row, checking for tickets, kicking people out who did not have tickets. It was nasty work. There's the phrase that pays in today's podcast. Somebody commented, you know, I got to be honest. These Columbia soccer fans, they make the SEC fans look weak AF. Soft. They're going through the vents to get there. Now, many people were blasting Hard Rock and the stadium ops for this fiasco. Others said, no, 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 this is CONMEBOL, which is the organizing entity that does the Copa that does not have their shit together. Either way, it was a wild night. And if you were in Chicago and you were desperate to watch this final, not only did you have to wait, but then the weather fascists decided, oh, there's a tornado. It may be two counties away. There's nothing you can do about it other than get inside, which, by the way, if a tornado is anywhere near your house, you're going to hear it and see it and go, holy shit, it's windy outside. And then you're going to get inside to where it's the safest spot you can find. No, never mind. They still took over the entire screen. And they put the soccer in a teeny, tiny box in the corner. Like, okay, you can have the tiniest corner. And you had to go get your eyes real close. Like, he kicks it to the guy, and then he kicks it to the guy, and then I think no, the other team has it now. And there's not a damn thing you can do about it, and the weather people were saving lives is what they will say, and they will not back down. Somebody explained to me how the best starting pitchers in baseball are truly worth $40 million a year. Now, I know what you're going to say. They're worth whatever someone is willing to pay them. Okay, fine. I want somebody to really break down the numbers to understand where are you coming at this calculation of, yes, Corbin Burnes, who's having a very good year with the Orioles, about to become a free agent, about to become a close to at least $40 million pitcher. How is he worth it over somebody else that is far cheaper? So the last 2 years, this, by the way, was precipitated by my good friend and colleague, Chris Johnson, big Orioles fan, saying, so what are the people in Milwaukee saying about trading away Burnes? And I go, oh, it was a no-brainer. Like, we knew we can't afford a $40 million player with the size market Milwaukee is, so it was an easy deal. The highest paid guy on the team was like Yelich at 22 or 24, something like that. And then basically nobody over 10 or 11 after that, a 12, a 10, an 8, and 6. It's not a huge payroll. This ain't the Dodgers, baby. So they knew, we're not going to get anything back. We got to get something back. And they like Joey Ortiz, the shortstop slash third baseman they got, who's having a good year. And they have big plans for DL Hall, the pitcher. So, you know, it was fine, but the bottom line was can't afford $40 million. So I then asked CJ, I go, well, and he's like, well, they got to re-sign him. They got to re-sign him. I go, okay, well, what would you pay him? So we start throwing around absurd numbers, of course, because that's what it costs for starting pitching. And I'm looking at the largest contracts in Major League Baseball history for pitchers. That includes Garrett Cole of the Yankees, $324 million over 9 years. Wow. Then you have single season high numbers from this year. Verlander's making 43 mil, Scherzer 43, DeGrom 40, Corbin for the Nats 34, and on down the line. So here's what I did. I looked at Corbin Burnes and I looked at his numbers. Last 2 years, 12-8, 10-8 with the Brewers, 33 starts, 32 starts respectively. A ERA 2.94 and 3.39. This year, it's even better at 2.43 with the Orioles. Okay, fine. I went down and I scrolled and I found the 52nd most starts. Pitcher number 52. I tried to pick 50 or so. 50 spots down this year for a pitcher with starts. And I found one Alex Cobb of the Giants. Alex Cobb made 28 starts last year, close to Burns and his 32. Had a 7-7 record, not 10-8, close, and an ERA of 3.87, which was higher than Burns, and 3.39. He is also, I think, 1 year older at 30 years old. Alex Cobb got a 2-year, $10 million per year deal, $20 million out the door, 2 years. You tell me, math people, baseball people, how can you justify paying guys like Corbin Burns that much money? You want to talk great NBA seasons? Nothing will touch Michael Jordan, 1988. It's arguably the greatest NBA season in history that did not end up in a championship for the player who had it. That's the only thing missing. In 1988, Jordan collected the following. 1, league MVP. 2, defensive MVP of the season. 3, All-NBA first team. 4, All-NBA defensive first team. 5, All-Star MVP. 6, slam dunk champion. 7, scoring title at 35 points per game. And just for one more thing, he led the league in steals. Care to guess how many games MJ had to load manage that year, 1988? If you said 0, yeah, you're pretty smart. Okay, let's finish out here with a few short ones. She looks pretty good for a dead woman. Kate Middleton received a standing ovation at Wimbledon this past Saturday, or Sunday, I think it was. Resplendent in an elegant but simple purple summer dress with a black boutonniere over her heart. She looked great for a woman who was nearly dead. And some of us said, are we sure she's not dead? Because she's been gone a long time. What's going on here? But even better is the photo that was captured by one of the photogs of her sister, Pippa, who many people think is every bit as fetching as Princess Catherine herself. And Pippa is looking while seated up at her sister, who takes a moment to stand and wave to the adoring Brits at Wimbledon. And the expression on her face is priceless. I've got 2 daughters. Anyone else with daughters, tell me you don't want yours to look at each other with the same kind of look, because it was fantastic. The new EA college football game has dropped, and people are playing it like crazy, including players who are currently in college football, like Travis Hunter of the University of Colorado. You know that last year Colorado started out hot, a lot of hype, and then they fell apart because their O-line was straight trash. Somebody asked Travis Hunter in a live stream, is the offensive line play in the new college football EA Sports game realistic? Here's what he had to say.
Okay, bro. Why am I getting chased by him?
There we go.
How? The O-line is realistic. Yes, very realistic.
What you mean?
Kickers can't block for nothing.
They can't block for nothing. I'd like to think that Deion has fixed his O-line problem in Colorado, but I'm thinking probably not. Joe Biden, back at it, addressing the nation after the assassination attempt of Donald Trump, almost committed an all-time botch in which he walked himself dead head-on into saying Trump's signature phrase of Make America Great Again.
So tonight, I'm asking every American to recommit to make America, so make America, what, think about it. What's made, so tonight.
Somebody edited in there, great again, with Trump saying it.
So tonight, I'm asking every American to recommit to make America, so make America, what, think about it.
Think about it. I love a good botch. I really do. Then there's this. I love it. You know you're getting older when you're entering your date or birth online on your phone and you have to spin that bitch for the year like you're a finalist on the Wheel of Fortune. Even better, it's spinning the wheel like you're in The Price is Right and you're in the Showcase Showdown. I always wanted to get on that show, go grab the wheel as high as I could and just with all my body weight, like set the record for the longest spin on Price is Right. But yes, I know that feeling where you're like, oh yeah, when were you born? Well, hold on a second. This is going to take a while. J.D. Vance has been named as Trump's vice president. J.D. Vance is significant for this reason. Well, for many reasons, but here's one that's an interesting factoid, if you will. J.D. Vance has broken the longstanding beard barrier in American politics. The last candidate on a presidential ticket, either the top or the bottom, with a full beard, was Benjamin Harrison in 1892. And look at an old Ben Harrison. That beard was resplendent. When did America stop trusting beards? I don't know. J.D. Vance's beard is good, solid. It's nothing to write home about, but it's a beard for sure. Some say he looks like a Tim Allen sidekick in the TV show Home Improvement. I'm sorry I can't quote his character name because I've not seen the series. What? I know. Yet another hole in my entertainment resume. And then we'll end on a pick-me-up. Alec Baldwin on Court TV. I'm not sure what case this was from. Might have been the shooting death of his director on the film set of Rust. It might have been something else. Witness was on the stand and being grilled about previous testimony. Take a listen.
I really appreciated the acting that he did on Saturday Night Live, and I really appreciate his politics.
You told one of the witnesses who disagreed with you during an interview that you thought Mr. Baldwin was a cocksucker.
I do not recall saying that.
You got to see the clip because Baldwin is looking down seriously, writing some notes. And as soon as the prosecutor says, apparently you called him a cocksucker, his head tilts up and he starts to intently stare at the witness, which I'm sure made her feel quite nervous.
Witnesses who disagreed with you during an interview that you thought Mr. Baldwin was a cocksucker.
I do not recall saying that.
Jive turkey, maybe? Now that's a reference to the movie Semi-Pro with Will Ferrell about the old ABA days. And I highly recommend that movie if you have the time. You haven't seen Home Improvement, for God's sake. You got no room. Okay, that's it. We're out of time. Everybody, file to your left. Tomorrow, I think Andy. Thursday, I think Charge. Friday, for sure, Scott and Solly. But we're back on the sports, baby. And I am glad to be here. Thanks for listening. Rate and review. Leave a message. Send me an email. Subscribe if you want. Don't if you don't. Live your life. Thanks for listening. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. And we will see you next time. Feeling the heat of the dog days of summer? Well, MyBookie.com is here to turn it up. While you're lounging by the pool, you could also be scoring big with MyBookie.com. From baseball to international soccer, we've got your summer sports fix covered. And let's not forget about those juicy NFL futures as we gear up for football season. At MyBookie.com, they're not just another faceless sports book. They've been our trusted partner here at the Zabecast for over 5 years because of their rock-solid reputation. At MyBookie, you'll get great odds that make you howl with delight, a wide array of props and futures to keep you engaged, and lightning-fast payouts without the hassle. Of course, as always, bet with your head, no over it. Ready to beat the heat and win big? Head to MyBookie.com now and use promo code ZABE. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. MyBookie.com. Your bookie, your way, all summer long.